Okay, I see in the chat that Becky wants to get going, so it's 4 o'clock, and we certainly rely on Becky for a lot of our input. So are we ready to go with recording, Kim or Bart?
The recording has started.
Yeah. Yoko will take the notes again to be circulated afterwards. Both through the ISTC, the CSC members, and to the council.
Okay, thank you. And I thought you did an excellent job last time, Yoko. Thank you. Bart has proposed an agenda, which is fine with me, but are there any comments or suggestions on this? Okay, there we go. All right, well, let's just move very quickly into the naming functioning agreement. Bart, I guess the way you proposed we look at this is we look at the CCTLD comments. Okay.
Alan, is I don't know, Kim, can you check who's got the background noise? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bart. So I think this will be dealing with where we are on the naming functions agreement. There's been a bit of chatter on the issue in particular of how to reflect 1.3 of the 2005 GAC principles. Would someone care to summarize where we are with that point? Becky, I think you're probably closest to this. Would you mind just telling us where we stand?
Sure. So as you know, some people, that when the original draft came along, it was referencing the wrong set of GAC principles, and a number of people expressed concern about the reference to the GAC principles at all, as it, was GAC principles and on its face, not formally adopted by the ICANN board as policy, not the product of a policy development process. So I had suggested, rather than trying to take it out, that we essentially caveat it by referring to it as the GAC principles where applicable in accordance with Section 1.3 thereof. And Section 1.3 says these principles are not binding on anyone unless they agree, unless both the registry and the country, so both the CC manager and the country, government, national, whatever, agree. And so that's what I was just hoping to invoke to avoid a discussion about the status of the GAC principles. Elise, the GAC representative from Norway, responded to the list. Well, first, ICANN asked for clarification about why this was necessary, which I provided to them. And then Elise from Norway, GAC representative, suggested that this caveating was not even or balanced. Kavus Ariste from Iran seconded her position, and Jorge Concio from Switzerland weighed in and said essentially the PTI is going to have to decide they're going to have to do the analysis in every case about what applies and what doesn't apply, so why sort of call this out. Jorge also pointed out that RFC 1591 has a status section, to which I responded that I thought the CCNSO would be comfortable with referring to as applicable in accordance with the status section of RFC 1591. But it's clear It hasn't gone beyond those three GAC members, but it's clear that they're not going to go quietly with our attempt to caveat. I think that there are sort of two or three approaches, because I did go back to the list and I was supported by Keith Davidson and others saying, you know, here are the differences between the GAC principles and RFC 1591 as interpreted by the framework of interpretation. You know, what's the concern about the referencing the applicability section? They have not responded. So there are several approaches that we could take. One, we could be adamant and dug in. I suspect that the likely response from the GAC would be to be adamant and dug in, unless we can identify a GAC member who can explain the sensitivities to those members of the GAC. We could also do something like, you know, eliminate all of the specific references and simply say that they are to apply ICANN policies adopted in accordance with the ICANN bylaws. And I don't know how people feel about that. That might be one way of sort of just eliminating the source of contention. The other issue that arose when I was talking to Chris Despain, and I thought Chris was going to try to be on the call, so I don't know if he's on yet. Oh, yes, great. Is just a more fundamental question about, you know, do we actually want PPI applying the policies in corner cases at all? Right now, if there is a hard, difficult, an unconsented request for revocation and redelegation, or revocation and delegation, the ICANN board makes the final call on that, and of course the CCNSO has both representatives on the ICANN board, but also recourse through the community empowered community process to the ICANN board. That it really isn't the case. That really isn't the case. So there is one sort of overarching question that has arisen as to whether, you know, we've got something sort of more fundamental wrong in the notion that, you know, what PTI ought to be doing is essentially, implementing straightforward, you know, just managing the technical functions and carrying out ICANN decisions applying RFC 1591 as interpreted by the FOI.
Thank you, Becky. I see that Chris does have his hand up, so I will let him speak for himself. Chris, please. Are you there, Chris? Chris Despain, all right. All right, well, maybe I'll ask Paul to speak, and maybe we can get back to you, Chris. Paul, please.
So, well done, Becky, again, for raising the three approaches. I think the aspect of being dug in, it's abundantly clear that the GAC are under a misconception as to the advice that they have given and the importance of the advice they have given. And so your option one, be adamant, I don't think there is any merit in taking that approach. your option two, which was apply ICANN policies in accordance with ICANN bylaws, in my opinion, that's probably the only option, because the framework has been specifically designed for those parties that wish to recognize ICANN as the authority, which obviously all GTLDs do and a shed load of CCTLDs do. That's what the framework is there for. And option three, I don't think IANA today applies policies. It is very much a technical operator. And if anything, for certain CCs, ICANN obviously makes decisions. For other CCs, it doesn't. And the goal is to really try and maintain the status quo. And so I would be very comfortable advocating option two, which is applying ICANN policies in accordance with ICANN bylaws. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Chris, apparently you were trying to speak.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you now, Chris. Thank you. Go ahead.
Excellent. Super, thanks. So I want to try and set out where we are right, what happens right now, and what I thought was intended to happen with the new model. Right now what happens is that IANA staff prepare a report in respect to what was a redelegation, and we're now calling a revocation and a delegation. And it has to go somewhere. And it comes to the board, and the board looks at it, and it's a traffic light report, and it's, you know, everything is green or there's an amber. If there's a red, it never comes to the board, but if there's an amber, it might come to the board. My understanding is that the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which I was intimately involved with, said that whilst it wasn't the best that the board would actually get those reports, for the time being, they could be sent to the board, and that the CCTLD community would work over time to come up with a replacement for that, which would possibly be some form of CCTLD. But fundamentally, the reports had to go somewhere, and some sort of sign-off had to happen. The last place where that sign-off needs to be is in the PTI. So if you take, and the reason is because there's no accountability. The CCNSO has the ability to put pressure on the board, the CCTLD community has the ability to put pressure on the board, and the community powers, the new community powers in the new model are mainly about reining the board in if it does something wrong. None of that applies to the PTI. So if you actually had a circumstance where you said the PTI must simply apply ICANN policy, that's fine, but what do you do if you and I believe that the policy is not being applied? If you have the ICANN board applying the policy, then you've got some way of actually dealing with it, because the enhanced community powers can actually tackle the board for what some people might say was an abuse of that power. But under the auspices of the PTI, which has been structured to possibly be hived off and given to somebody else, and in my understanding was only ever intended to be an operational body that simply did what it was told, you've got no appeals mechanism, you've got no ability to ensure that there are checks and balances. So my view is that the decision-making, that the formal approval of the decisions has to remain within ICANN, not within the PTI. And I'm at a loss to understand why the naming agreement seems to give the authority to interpret ICANN policy to the PTI, when in fact the ICANN policy should be interpreted by ICANN, the board, with the empowered community standing behind and having the ability to object and mechanisms to deal with it if that policy is interpreted incorrectly. So it may be a very simplistic view, but I the FOI working group said, let the board be the place for now, and the CCTLD community will come up with the body that should make that decision in the future. I can see no reason to move away from that unless we suddenly decided, as a CCTLD community, that the PTI should be that body, in which case I would argue that the structure of the board of the PTI is deficient for looking after the interests of CCTLDs.
Thank you, Chris. So we got a bit of a lineup here. I guess Paul got his hand up first. So, Paul, do you want to join this discussion? Thank you.
I was in the throes of typing, and I think I agree with Chris in that it is currently documented that PTI should be a decision-making body, and that is deviating from what PTI has historically been about, namely PTI has been a service operator. Where I disagree or we slightly diverge in views is where is the party responsible for making decisions? Now, within the GTLD world, that's well defined and it's documented within the contract, and that is the ICANN board. For those CCs that defer to ICANN and invite the ICANN board to make a determination, that is also fairly well defined. For many CCs, they do not wish to be subservient to ICANN nor the ICANN board, but some obviously do. I'm not commenting, I'm just trying to make sure that the whole diverse spectrum of CCs is accommodated within this new framework. And so provided all aspects can be addressed, that is great. For those parties that do not wish to be subservient to the ICANN framework nor board, then of course it's the Court of Competent Jurisdiction that makes a learned determination. Now, it could be, unfortunately, that the country in question has an authoritarian regime and unfortunately the registry changes from A to B to C to D on a regular basis. But the registry manager in question, unfortunately, may be subject to the end of a rifle. And in which case, if that is the case, it would be very inappropriate for a third party, particularly outside of jurisdiction, to be frustrating the ability to transfer. The other point I'd like to make is if there is any uncertainty with regard to who the registry manager is, and the stability of the registry operator, the CC market in general could suffer because there will be an assessment as to the stability of the legal regime in which the registry is operating under, and it could be that investment in CC domains diminishes in favor of the increasing number of GTLDs. And as everyone knows, I'm passionate about CCs. And so I'm very much in favor of there being the local accountability in accordance with the laws under which the registry operates rather than an external party. So again, I come back to Becky's initial point. There is, in my opinion, only option two, which is ICANN policies in accordance with ICANN bylaws for those that are subject to the ICANN framework. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. I'll turn to Martin Boyle, please. Martin.
Thank you, Alan. Can I be heard, and am I not sounding too loud?
Yes,
we can hear you. It's okay, Martin.
Okay. I think certainly there are a lot of things that Chris said that I agree with, and also a lot of things that Paul said that I agree with. I guess I do have the issue of how can we hold PTI accountable for its decisions. And that's where I think the overall ICANN responsibility for policing its contract with PTI starts becoming quite important. That gives us a direct link to the various policy fora, and it gives us a direct link to the enhanced accountability measures. And I think that's actually probably quite an important thing to hold in mind. Paul made significant reference to local accountability, and I think this is probably the one thing in the GAC principles that has sparked the people who've put their hand up, and in particular Norway. It's 1.2 of the GAC principles, which refers to the national sovereignty and the national decision making. And I think there is some quite bitter experiences within the governments and also among certain CCTLDs about the way that in the past ICANN deemed that it was the owner of the CCTLD and decided that it could try and impose decisions on the CCTLD in exchange for the changes, the restructuring or whatever that were happening in country. That long time ago, but memories do run deep in this industry, but I would certainly recognise from my erstwhile colleagues the concern that they have about what actually happens if the decisions suddenly start being made by a court in California rather than by the local jurisdiction of the local court. And that, by the way, is where I think I would certainly separate myself from Chris's comment about the possibility of having a CCTLD committee for looking at decisions, because essentially a CCTLD committee looking at decisions starts to take away the decision country to an extraterritorial decision. An awful lot of the problem we've got is that we haven't got a neat single set of policies. And perhaps that actually hasn't come out very clearly in the terms of reference, the functions agreement, but it is actually, I think, quite an important issue in that there are some CCTLDs that are not based in the jurisdiction which they serve. There are some CCTLDs which do not accept RSC 1591. There are some CCTLDs that would not necessarily agree with any decision that's gone through the CCNSO. And that is going to make quite a complicated decision basis. And so again, I think I would look very much towards something where the decision, decision's the wrong word, the oversight of the decision is coming back to an area where there is an option for being able to reply, appeal, respond to the decision that has been made. That sort of basic thing doesn't and shouldn't lead to the ICANN board now making the decision in the place of the PTI, but rather that the decision that is arrived at within PTI is examined by the people who are going to take responsibility in front of the ICANN community for that decision. And that really means that they need to know that PTI has followed due process, that it is properly documented, the reason for its decision, and recognize where there are specific issues, and if those specific issues with the decision are significant, to go back to PTI and say, you need to get more information about this. I'll stop there, but you know, I actually do think that we are very, very close to some sort of ability to resolve this, but there are quite a number of areas where there are quite significant concerns about who has the right to overrule whom on any decision-making process. And I think if we get that wrong, in other words, we do not make clear why we're recommending a particular solution, then that will come back to haunt future patients. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Katrina, please.
Thank you very much, Alan. While Becky is still on the call, what actions would you expect from the CTNSL Council? Any ideas? Maybe you can share in the chat window and allow others to express the thoughts. But tomorrow we're going to have a council call, and this is one of the topics that we need to discuss. So your inputs will be really, really valuable.
Thank you, Katrina. I think I'll just say what I think the flow of the meeting will be is that if we can come to some sense on this issue, we'll have a discussion about the CCNSO Council statement. So I think that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, because my sense is that there may well be need for a statement from the CCNSO Council. But I'll turn to Peter Van Rossen now, please. Peter?
Martin already made, I think, a very important point in response to Chris's quite convincing list of issues that he made earlier. And that is the track between PTI and ICANN is exactly the tool that will help to make sure that PTI does not extend its authority into areas where it shouldn't. And when we go back to the origin of the discussion, that is, what reference should there be to the GAC principles and FOI in the mini function service agreement? Would it suffice to say that, and I'm just looking for the wording here, where applicable, and then rather than in accordance with section 1.3 thereof, but just continue the sentence after where applicable. The GAC principles themselves in 1.3 are pretty clear on when they are applicable, so I don't think there is an explicit need from a legal point of view to reassert that, but Becky, obviously I'm happy to take your lead on that. But for the center comments, I was thinking of making that reference, underlining that the applicability is not always the case, so that there should be an assessment on whether they are applicable or not, but leaving the naming service agreement without any reference to the GAC principles or FOI, because, as we all know, it is not a PTI to make decisions in cases of doubt. For me, it would feel uncomfortable. It would give PTI no framework of reference, or at least it wouldn't give them a framework of reference in a binding legal instrument. So I would still be in favor to refer to them, despite the risk that Chris underlined, but underline that they are not always applicable by simply adding those two words in front. Arguments, and I've had indirect information from Editha. I talked to, I asked Annabeth to get in touch with her and better understand what her problem was and how, where the gag stood. And she basically kind of apologized for putting gag principles and FOI on the same level. That was not her intention, and she understood that that can easily be badly interpreted. I think she would be perfectly happy with reference to the gag principles as long as there is no specific reference to 1.3. So that is what we would suggest, but if Becky, if you have strong opinions against that, then, or anybody else with strong opinions against that, then I would be very interested to hear. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Before I go to Chris, I'm going to ask Becky if she could perhaps join and try and draw some of these threads together, because my sense is what Peter has suggested is very close to the approach you have suggested, Becky, which Paul has characterized as option two. But so maybe you could think about that, and then but I'll ask Chris to speak, please. Chris?
If Becky wants to respond first, come on, that's fine by me.
Well, she hasn't got her hand up. I thought I would give her a chance to collect her thoughts. So why don't you go ahead, Chris, and Lisa's there. And okay,
sure.
Thanks. You seem to be on mute, Chris, if you're speaking.
Yep, sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're good now.
Can you hear me now? Okay, thanks, Alan. So I don't disagree with Peter. I think what Peter's just said is valid. I'm concerned about... Look, let me be completely blunt. The Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which had CCTLD, CCNSO members, non-CCNO members, GAC members, heaps of people on it, spent 5 years in a very delicate dance, in a dance that effectively managed in the end to satisfy Bill Semish, Eberhard, Nigel, me, you, Nominet, various other CCTLDs about coming out with a position on interpreting 1591, which was deemed to be pretty much satisfactory for all parties, and as is often the way in these cases, left a number of open questions, which by agreement we all said, let's leave that open because it's too hard to deal with, but we all know what we mean. My concern is simply that moving the function from ICANN to the PTI is going to in some way hamper the consensus that was reached in respect to the FOI and hive down the decision-making process to a smaller body that has no accountability. That's really all I care about. As long as we can have a situation where the PTI can simply be an operational body that does what it's told, whether it does what it's told by the CCTLD community, an individual CCTLD or ICANN board, I don't much care about in the scheme of things. What I don't want to have happen is to have argument, hard won consensus in the FOI being thrown out simply because we're moving to the PTI. I understand that there are people, there are CCTLD managers like Paul who believe that it's a commercial asset that they own and they should be able to sell it at the best market price, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to make sure that, and I note that, Peter, you've just posted in the list, the PTI can be held accountable through the contract. Well, yes, it can, but my question would be, how can it be held accountable? You've got a contract with ICANN, and how is the empowered community, what mechanism is the empowered community going to use to hold PTI accountable? In order to hold PTI accountable, the empowered community has to, in effect, force the board to hold the PTI accountable. And I would far rather have the empowered community, a single step, hold the board accountable, rather force the board to hold the PTI accountable. I think that's two and possibly three steps, which are unnecessary, and we could simply have the decision-making process sitting where it does already, to, and not have to rely on a contract. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Lisa, please.
Thank you, Alan. I don't think we're moving anything into the PTI. That was not my understanding anyway. I thought it was important to make a reference to the CC's special situation and remind it here, but it's still nothing PTI has to do with taking decisions on policy. I agree on that. And my other point is to Katrina asking what Becky needs from the council. I think we need to be aware there is a CWG meeting tomorrow where we are going to deal partly with this. This is not going to mean the end, but I think it's important that as many as the people who are on this call can participate on the CWG call tomorrow, because it is important to raise it as many places as possible and to have it dealt with preferably in the CWG, and of course I think it's also important to make comments to the public consultation on this. But what I've been told is that a new red line version is coming out very soon with the last pieces that needs to be solved by the CWG. So this should be out before the call tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Mr. Daly, please.
Thank you, Alan. So this is about Chris, your point that basically suggesting that the board is much more accountable than PTI. From my perspective, when I look at it, PTI has a very clear set of rules and processes that it needs to which are very well documented. It has very clear deadlines and perform agreements and various other things. It has a mandated publishing mechanism or reporting mechanism that it needs to follow, and it has a performance oversight committee in the CSC. All of those things are strong accountability measures in terms of the decision-making that it would make about its particular role. I don't see where the board has specific accountability measures about its decision-making that it makes about CCTLDs that are in any way comparable. I understand that it has plenty in a broader aspect about how it does its role, but those seem to me, you know, too broad to apply in this particular case.
Thank you, Jay. Chris, please.
I'd like to respond to that if I can.
Okay, but I just wanted to see if we have Becky, because I think we should try and bring this
sure.
issue to a close. Thanks. Go ahead, please, Chris.
Is Becky there?
No, she's not on the list. But she's still around. So we'll see, anyway, we'll see if we can
okay.
get the wording nailed. Thanks.
So Jay, I appreciate what you just said, and I understand that. But let me try and step it out so that we're clear. The current situation is that the current situation is kind of staff. If there's a redelegation or what the FOI said should be a revocation and a delegation, situation is that the staff go off and do a whole heap of work, and they create a report, and that report comes to the ICANN board, and the report is a traffic light report, and it says dot XX should be redelegated from the, and here are the all the tick boxes that have been ticked that say that that's okay to happen. And on occasions, there are reports that have one, possibly one or two amber lights instead of all green lights. And those lights are, those amber lights discussed at the board. And irrespective of whether it's an all green or maybe one amber, the board eventually passes a resolution. Now, let me be completely clear. This has been discussed in the FOI for the last over 2 or 3 years. Stephen, who's on the call, will remember these discussions, as will Becky. The board does not want to do this, but the board has ended up having the role of doing it. What the FOI said was that, in effect, was that the in an ideal world, there would be some CCTLD-based entity that would either be the sign-off approval of a revocation of delegation by consent, because we're talking about by consent here, not disputed, because that's a different thing entirely. There would be some CC-based body, but for the interim period of time, the status quo was the board. And one of the reasons for that is that the CCTLDs have significant representation on the board, that the board has a history of deferring to the views of its CCTLD-based board members, and that in the scheme of things, it's operated reasonably well for now. Now, I'm fine with all of that. I don't particularly want the board to be the decision maker, the approver, but somebody has to be. And what I'm concerned about is that that decision, that approval mechanism, is devolved to a smaller board, to the PTI board, a board with which the community itself has no mechanism to deal with other than to go through a whole series of hoops through the ICANN board to get to them. And so my view is that the PTI board, or the PTI itself, should be simply, and I think Paul Kane has put this in the list, should be simply a service body that provides a service. And that, to me, implies that they should not have a decision-making role in respect to whether something is right or wrong, but should simply follow instructions. And that's the way that I view it. Now, I'm happy to accept that others don't agree with that, but that's my view. And I thought that that was what the PTI was always intended to be, which was a service-based organization that just delivered a service, and that the policy decisions remained within the ICANN construct, and in the case of CCTLDs, within the CCNSO, and involving the non-CCNSO members in the tent. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. So the only hand up right now is Paul Kane. So I'm going to ask Paul to speak, and then I'm going to suggest that we move on to the proposed council statement, because I think, given all the discussion, we should try and provide some advice to the board on this subject. So, Paul, please. Thanks.
So, I agree in part with what Chris has just said. The bottom line is I just want to come back to the fundamentals of the naming services agreement, which is on the table today. We have to come up with learned comments that are applicable, that constrain the role and function of PTI along the lines of what we have been advocating. But my headline concern is everyone is after the power of running, quote, a TLD. No one is actually really mentioning the poor customers of the CCTLD. And I really am passionate about making sure that the service that the customers enjoy is of paramount. So if it's a contentious redelegation, go to court. That's what courts are for. If it's a non-contentious redelegation, then provided the data has been transferred correctly and it is verified by third party that it's been transferred correctly, then the incumbent operator has effectively handed over the rights of that TLD on a local basis to whomever. So I don't think external parties should be involved. But I just want to come back very simply to the naming services agreement. We have the GAC principles, and I would like a specific instruction from this group as to how to handle that. Let sleeping dogs lie? I'm not sure. I think making sure GAC, where applicable, in reference to the FOI, and I apologize, I'm not familiar with that document, again, because I'm not party to really what happens in the ICANN world. But if a good percentage of the CCs are comfortable with it, as a representative, I will make sure that the percentage of those Cs that are happy with it have that reflected. So I think we need to have the FOI in there, but if there is going to be contention, we come back to Becky's point number two, which is apply ICANN policies in accordance with ICANN bylaws, because the FOI apparently has been adopted by ICANN as policy, whereas the GAC principles have not. So let's try and move on. The next thing is, the other contentious one was, who is the authority? I think ICANN have agreed that they made a typo error with respect to unless specified, unless specifically authorized by ICANN in writing, the contractor shall not make modifications, additions, or deletions. They've actually backtracked from that and said it was really just for the root zone maintainer. But I think we should pick up and mention specifically they have a limited scope. And the final thing has been the fees. We haven't discussed the fees aspect at all on this call. And I would welcome guidance from the members on the call as to whether the CWG reps should be silent on the matter of fees, let the things just mellow out after the event. Please give guidance. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Well, this is what I propose we do. Dealing with the specific issue of whether to reflect and the reference to the GAC principles, I propose that we focus for the moment on the draft council statement while others are thinking about the other two issues that Paul has raised. So I'm going to ask Kim or Bart to put that statement, the proposed draft council statement, because I think if we can give some specificity to this, that can also help those of us who will be participating in the CWG call tomorrow. So Bart or Kim, can you put up that draft statement, please?
So I think
if we go down to specific comments, and I think this is really what Paul is saying, what specifically should we be saying? So here's an example of what we should be saying. And what I heard Paul reflecting, and I have to say it resonates with me, the sense I'm getting from a lot of the discussion is there is a preference for this language, but there's nevertheless an acknowledgement that we could probably live with something a little leaner, in other words, are close to, it's to apply ICANN policies in accordance with the bylaws or words to that effect. So in effect, we would be putting forward advice, which is we would prefer this, but we could live with this. So in terms of a proposal, what do people think about that? And I'm looking at Krista Spain's hand, and I think it's an old one. And so I'm going to go to Stephen now for the moment, and then thank you, Stephen, please.
Oh, thank you, Stephen, please.
Thank you. I'm just on what basis can you make the statement that we can quote live with it the way it is? I feel pretty strongly that what we're seeing here is an end run to elevate voluntary guideline principles to incorporate them into the contract at the same level as the FOI, which is board policy. So I really have to question, without polling the CC membership in its totality, that we can say for the community, yes, we would prefer this language, but we can actually live with what we have now. I don't see that we're in a position to say that. Thank you.
All right, Stephen, what I thought I was saying was we would prefer the language that is reflected on the screen, but that we could live with the language that says PTI shall apply ICANN policies in accordance with the bylaws. So in other words, we're not silent on that, but we're clearly saying that the policies have to be reflected in the bylaws. So that's what I thought I was hearing from Becky. That's what I thought I was hearing from Paul Kane. So I'm just putting that out for comment to see if we can bring some closure to this. Others? Is that the sense?
Just to help out.
Thank you, Paul.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So just to help out, Stephen, I think your point, Stephen, is well made. We are very much, we have the finish line in sight, and I think it is highly inappropriate that the members of the GAC have raised, it was more fundamental than that. I wanted specifically during one of the CBG calls to specifically cite the GAC principles 2005, and I was shouted down by certain people to actually not mention 2005, whereas 2002 GAC principles have actually been archived. So this is a thorny issue, and at the last minute, with the finish line in sight, and I sincerely hope the transition occurs, I think the only option candidly available is to step back and say, apply ICANN policies in accordance with ICANN bylaws to those parties that are impacted by ICANN bylaws, or whatever. You know, I think if parties are going to get dug in, the only valid policy is apparently the FOI and is most certainly not the GAC principles 2005. We win without being confrontational.
So, returning to the issue of what the advice would be, if I see that Becky is apparently still on the call, I would ask Bart if he is comfortable enough from the flow of the discussion vis-a-vis what the specific comment should be to at least report back to the CCNSO Council tomorrow on where we're coming out.
I think the good thing is we have a lot of councillors on this call today, not just Becky, but others as well, including Stephen. And the way I looked at it, and this is, that's why you look at it as a format. First of all, this is just a format, so to just to ensure that the agreed upon points are captured in future and with the support of the CCNSO Council. And the specific comments, it go back to say what the it's more in support of what the CWG members and participants raise over the next couple of days, and then fill it into the council statement over the time. And I think what needs to be done or at least that's the say the intention, as far as I know, for tomorrow's call, that the council agrees, say, look, this is really a moving target. We're here in support of the position of the CCTLDs. We know there are some thorny issues which will be resolved over the next couple of days, at least internally with the CWG. And if there are open issues, then let's use this method. For example, around this bit around the GAC principles, to use the weight of the council and get the best result possible. That's more or less the intention, I believe. Katrina, you want to add anything to that?
No, thank you.
Okay.
So this discussion, I think, is to conclude, is very helpful, I think, especially for the councillors, and also to inform the CW people who will participate tomorrow and to coordinate direction on the call tomorrow with respect to the next iteration of the functions agreement, and then see where we're at, and we will monitor it, say, from staff and probably some councillors as well, and get back to this group as soon as possible online and to the council as soon as we got something, and start building the statement over the next couple of days.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Well, look, we're rapidly running out of time. There's the other two issues that Paul raised. There's the fees, and I believe it's the it has to do with the contractor modifying the root zone. Are there any other comments on those issues that Paul raised? Okay.
Sorry, Alan, this is Bart. Sorry, I should have put my hand up. This is more a question for Lisa. Lisa, Paul is referring, and this was discussed last week, if I recall properly, is referring to the service agreement and sections in the service agreement. What is the current status of that service agreement, and will it go through a similar kind of public comment process as currently the case with the functions agreement?
Sorry, I was disturbed by someone trying to call me, but the status of the service agreement is that that has been discussed between Icon Legal and Fidley, and I believe that a new version is ready to be presented for the group. And if there are any outstanding issues, those will be dealt with too. The service agreement is not being sent out for public comment, so that has to be tracked during the actual CWG work. But it's public, so everyone can see it. But it's important that any comment is actually made to the CWG, because there's not going to be a formal public consultation on that one.
And is there, Lisa, this is Bart again.
Yeah.
Is there an envisioned end date for the service agreement, and when you want, say, the discussion to close? So,
well, that is more when the CWG decides that they agree with the version that's been presented for them.
Okay.
So that's not a final, because if we see the agreement and discuss it on the call tomorrow and there's no agreement, then it's not finalized. But and I see the Stephen asking why the service agreement is not being sent out for public consultation, and the reason is actually that this is a more technical service agreement between ICANN and PTI, so that was the reason why we were told that it's not being sent for public consultation. But I don't have any other reasoning than that, and there has been no objections to that from anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And I believe when we spoke last time that Becky was volunteered or voluntold to see if she would be on point on the services agreement to be ably assisted by Stephen. So we see where we are on that. We have run out of time. We at some point may have to deal with the issue of the appointment of someone from the CCTD community to the CCG community consultation group, I think, with the IPR. But unless there are any other business, any other issues? Oh, we have Stephen and Paul. Sorry. Stephen, please.
I want to say, with respect to our review of the service agreement that Becky and I committed to last week, if we could actually get a current copy of that agreement, which coincides with the Sidley Draft 17 August issues list, that would be extremely helpful. I'm not able to provide any technical comments to Becky on this until we get an actual up-to-date current copy of the service agreement that matches the issues list that was also provided to us. And if I can get that this afternoon, this evening, my time, I will endeavor to do my best to provide some comments to somebody who can circulate them to the CWG prior to the CWG meeting tomorrow night on the technical questions. Whether Becky can come back on any legal questions she might have is an open question. But if I can get the document, I will endeavor to get some meaningful comments back to the CWG prior to its meeting tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Paul,
I'm going to be really brief. So I want to make sure that we understand that I've only been talking about the naming functions agreement. The service agreement does mention fees, but I'm talking about Section 1 where it discusses fees. I need guidance. The CWG members need guidance, or representatives, or whatever we're called, need guidance as to how hard we should be hitting these issues. The next issue, confidentiality. No one has raised on this call the naming services agreement, naming functions agreement relating to confidentiality. There is a duty, obviously, to share within the IANA PTI framework, but can we be assured that those parties that are impacted by such activities that PTI undertakes are known to those parties that are involved? The current wording doesn't provide for that. Originally, I hate going back in history, 2000, 2002, where ICANN was sending out people to various countries to try and drum up support for the institution is an issue. And it hasn't been an issue for 10 years, 12 years. I don't want it to become an issue again in a further five because we dropped the ball. But I've said enough tonight. These issues are really critical, and to be honest, as a rep, I need to have guidance from the community as to, or your community. Many people write to me privately saying, please bang the drum, and sometimes I don't agree with the drum I'm banging, but I want to make sure I'm banging the drum that you want me to bang because I'm effectively your rep. But please give guidance to the CWG reps. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Paul. So I'm going to give the last word to Chris Despain as much as
yeah.
Chris.
I love having the last word. I love having the last word. Thank you, Alan. I just wanted to ask if there were any specific I may have lost the thread a little bit. We've got if I understand it, there's a CWG call tomorrow at, I guess it's 2000 UTC. So I just wanted to see whether What do we have a plan going forwards for how we're going to handle that call? I'll certainly be able to be on that call. I've no doubt Becky will. What is it that we're going to do on that call as CCTLD folks? Are we delivering a specific message? Where have we got to on this call to take it forward to the next CWG call?
Well, I guess it would be left to me to summarize by saying I don't think there is a summary, Chris. I think all of us that are on the CWG will be informed by this discussion and to take those comments forward tomorrow. I don't think we were able to bring it to a finely pointed approach. That's my sense of this.
Okay, well, at least those of us that are on the call can maybe get on the call and express opinions. That's probably valuable.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I guess there's the issue of a next call. I think my sense is we will need one, particularly given that the services agreement has yet to surface and there are some concerns, and it remains to be seen where the naming agreement goes out. So I'll leave it to Kim and company to propose a time next week. Okay. All right. Well, with that, I'll call it a day. Thank you, everybody. It was a very good discussion today. Good afternoon and good night.